I invite you tonight to open God's Word to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I will read our text tonight. It will be Romans chapter 5, simply verse 1. Let us hear God's Word. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let us pray. Our Father, what a glorious day this has been. In your presence, hearing of your grace and your love for us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we cannot get enough, and our souls desperately need it too. Father, we pray tonight that you would give us attentiveness, even in our weariness and tiredness from this long day we've spent together. We pray, Lord, you'd give us attentiveness to your word. We pray, Father, that we would receive your preached word tonight as your word to us, as our loving shepherd addressing his people. Lord, all of our hearts need to hear from you. So we pray that by your Spirit, you would illumine our hearts and minds to this text and so apply it to our hearts, each individually, by your Spirit, for our good and for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Mentioned to you that I am aware of our frames, and it has been a long day. We're coming off of a large meal. So as profound as this text is, we're going to keep it tight. I encourage you to attentiveness. There is nuggets of gold here for our souls. So let us give attention to the preaching of God's word tonight. It has been said by the reformer Martin Luther that the doctrine on which the church stands or falls is the doctrine of justification. Ordinarily, justification is associated with the Reformation. And a lot of people, when they hear the word justification, associate it with a particular time period in history where that was a big topic of discussion. One thing we need to be mindful of, brothers and sisters, tonight and always, is that this is Paul, the apostle. This is the Bible that is using such language. God, the Holy Spirit, in writing these scriptures through these various authors, inspiring them so as to hear from God, we need to be mindful that God himself has chosen to communicate to you and me the glories of our salvation in Christ by using such legal terminology. It's not that we're using some language that we discovered on some lofty theological tower. This is Bible language, Bible nomenclature. And we need to know that as we employ this language to speak about our salvation in Jesus, we should do so and do so heartily, knowing that this is indeed the very word of God that has chosen to use this language to communicate this to us. What is justification? Well, one way of thinking about it first of all is its setting. Justification is that which takes place in the setting of a courtroom. Because the word justify simply means to be declared righteous before God. So it is this idea of legal declaration. So it is indeed the language of a courtroom. Now, Romans chapter 1 through 5 takes up this whole subject of justification. It speaks about how all of us are unrighteous before God, each and every one. No one is exempted. And yet God has chosen to save some of Adam's sinful race. And the question on the table is, how can one get this righteousness that we so desperately need? Because none of us have been found righteous. So Romans chapters 1 through 5 deal with this very subject matter of how can one be righteous before God. Paul, as well as the reformers, deemed it crucial to distinguish between instrument and ground when it came to this subject matter of justification. If we get either of these wrong, we lose the whole boat. We cannot get the instrument of our justification wrong, and we cannot get the ground of our justification wrong. If we get either wrong, we compromise the entirety of our salvation. and it has terrible consequences. So I want us tonight to just consider this. First, I want us to consider the grounds of our justification. Secondly, the instrument of our justification. And then lastly, and this is where I want us primarily to live tonight, is on the third point, which is the result of this justification. Well, let us briefly consider the grounds of our justification. Paul makes it very clear that Christ Jesus himself is the sole grounds by which God will ever justify us. You could probably just substitute the word acquit in there for justify. What is the grounds by which God will take his gavel and hit the gavel and say, thou art acquitted? Well, the sole ground is Christ. Probably a lot of you have memorized Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. There it is. God has chosen to reveal where righteousness can be found. And he spends the next several chapters saying, it's in Jesus Christ that you find that very righteousness. And that's what it is that Paul's not ashamed of. In fact, Paul's willing to give his life for it, because it is indeed the gospel of Jesus. If you were to flip back one page to Romans chapter 3, and just look with me at verse 21. He says here in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Where do I get that? Through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in, there it is again, Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation, etc. So here we find Paul clearly identifying Jesus Christ as the sole grounds of our acquittal. Therefore, when Paul comes to our text tonight in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it shouldn't surprise us. Because if you look here at Romans chapter 1, which is our text, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the grounds. We are justified through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will go on and on through chapter 5, which is the reason I had this read that tonight, to talk about the second Adam, the man of righteousness. Did you hear that language tonight? It was we read through Romans chapter 5. So he goes on further to identify that if you want to find a righteousness by which to stand before God, the grounds is found in Jesus Christ alone and his righteousness. Just as one soul man failed, so a soul man was successful, and that was our Lord Jesus. And it's for this reason that the Reformers, one of their slogans that you would oftentimes hear on their lips was, Solus Christus, Christ alone, because he is the sole grounds of our justification. Moving on to the instrument. Paul, throughout his letters, speaks about salvation or justification, being justified in God's courtroom, is always a matter of grace. We've spoken a lot about grace around here at Westminster, don't you? Hear it all the time. We're saved by grace. In fact, the entirety of the sermon this morning was all really about the grace of God. God freely comes and he deals with sin for us on our behalf. He's the one that covers us. He's the one that addresses our big problem, which is sin. And he does it all freely by his grace. Now, the Apostle Paul is very, very protective of that truth, that we are saved by grace. God freely justifying us by his grace. In fact, in that verse I just read in Romans chapter 3, he says, you're justified freely by his grace. Grace is the matter at hand. Now, if Christ alone is the ground of our justification, the next question is how do I get Christ? Right? Naturally. If Jesus Christ and his righteousness is the ground of my justification, I want to know what links me to him. What unites me to the Lord Jesus? Well, Romans chapter 1 through 4, Paul goes to great lengths to establish that there's only one instrument. We use the word instrument for this being united to Jesus, being linked to the Lord Jesus so as to have his righteousness. It's the instrument. By what instrument are you connected to him? Well, in Romans 1-4, he goes to great lengths to establish that there is a sole instrument, and that is faith. It is faith alone that is the instrument by which we are united to him. Particularly in Romans 4, if you're familiar with Romans 4, he argues, much like an attorney, he argues that Abraham was justified solely by faith and nothing else. It was only by his faith that the Lord was able to say to him, "You are justified." Now, there's an important verse that I would like all of us to turn to, and it is found in Romans chapter 4, that very chapter where he's talking about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, a verse to underscore for sure. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace." It is of faith, this whole matter of being justified is of faith that it might be according to grace. That is a very important verse, because what Paul is establishing there is that there's only one way that justification can rest on grace alone. If we're all about protecting grace alone, there's only one way that that justification can rest on grace, and that is having one sole instrument, which is faith. What he's saying there in verse 16, it's a faith so that it will accord with grace. If it is anything but faith, it's not going to accord with grace. And grace is the matter at hand. So in order to protect grace and salvation being only by grace, faith has to be the sole instrument. It's the only way it can accord with grace. It doesn't accord with grace if anything is added to faith. Let me say that again. It doesn't accord with grace, which is what Paul is wanting to protect. It doesn't accord with that if anything is added to faith. Faith is a sole and alone instrument. That's why, of course, one of the other slogans that we're reminded of this time of the year is sola fide, faith alone. So if you add anything to faith, it cannot be an instrument, is what Paul says. There's only one instrument. So if you're going to add something, watch this. If you're going to add something, you can't add it to the instrument category, because there's only one thing there, and that's faith. If you try to add anything, guess where you're going to have to add it? You're going to have to add it to the grounds. Because faith must be alone in order to accord with grace. You can't add anything to it, or else it doesn't accord with grace. So if you try to add anything, you've got to add it over there into the grounds category. Now, Paul says in our text tonight in Romans 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," faith is the only instrument, "and to attempt to add anything to faith is to add it to the grounds." And now who are you contending with? Jesus Christ himself. You're saying that Jesus is not sufficient. Jesus can't be the sole grounds. There's got to be something added to Jesus. Jesus is not sufficient. But Paul would have it not be. Paul would not have it be, and I think that's why the reformers were, and those associated with the Reformation were so insistent upon not adding anything to faith as an instrument, because you ultimately end up adding it to the grounds, and it militates against the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go to the last item for tonight, and that is the result. And this is where I really want us to have our hearts impressed. What's the result of being justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? What's the result? Well, Paul kind of slips out of the legal terminology here for a moment, brothers and sisters. And what does he say? "Therefore, having been justified by faith," he doesn't go on and just say "through our Lord Jesus Christ." He has something in between there. "We have peace with God." We have peace with God. So we talked about this morning, we have a large problem, and that is that there's discord between humanity and God. There's discord. There's not peace. There's no rest. It's all restlessness. We're not at peace with God. We're in a state of no peace. But Paul says in our text tonight that you are at peace with God. And an unbeliever can be at peace with God right now. That's what's so amazing about the gospel. It doesn't require you to take 50,000 steps or to climb a mountain or do some other activity in order to arrive at a justified status. No, you may have peace now by faith. It's remarkable. Two things I just want to highlight here. First is this. There is a difference in talking about our relationship to God in the courtroom and talking about our relationship to God in the living room. Some of you may wonder, why is it in our worship service we have a declaration of pardon? Why is it that we need to hear that we're at peace with God each week? Why is it that we need to hear that God forgives you? I thought I was already forgiven. I thought I was already at peace with God. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I'm already at peace with God. So why is it that we even need to have it declared to us that all is at peace and all is well and your sins are forgiven you? Well, number one, it's found in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, Father, forgive us of our sins. There's legitimacy to confessing our sins to God. Brothers and sisters, this is a very important distinction. There is, on the one hand, the courtroom terminology of our needing a definitive peace between us and God. But in our Christian lives, where we live in the living room, we live in relationship to God. Now, some of you children will be able to identify with this. Whenever you've sinned against your daddy or you've sinned against your mama, Violet, and you come to your daddy or you come to your mom and you confess your sins to your daddy or to your mom, that discord that you feel between you and your daddy or between you and your mom is not fun, is it? It's not something that is very pleasant. No. So we come to our daddy or our mom, sometimes in tears, right? Say, Mom, I'm so sorry. Dad, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And boy, there's nothing like mama or daddy putting you up in their lap, putting their arm around you and giving you a big hug and saying, my dear child, thank you for apologizing. Thank you for saying that you were sorry for your sin and confessing it to me. I love you. I forgive you. And it brings great delight to one's father or one's mother to say, yes, you're forgiven. Guess what? You know what? There's no discord. We're all at peace. Now, you're not dealing with the definitiveness of that peace, are you? Definitively, they're my child, right? Definitively, there is an established relationship that will never end. Definitively, that love and that peace is there. But relationally, when you move out of the courtroom and you move into the living room, you use language like, I apologize, please forgive me. Yes, you're forgiven. All is at peace. All is well. And we as God's children need to hear that every single week from our Father. So what you're hearing from the pulpit every Sunday morning has nothing to do with the definitiveness of you being at peace with God. No, it's your daddy speaking to you. Your father is speaking to you and saying, my dear child who's confessed your sins to me, you need to know my arms are wrapped around you. I love you and I forgive you. There's no discord with us anymore. All is at peace between us, relationally speaking. So it's important that you note that there is that distinction. And our confession of faith does a wonderful job at this. God does continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified. Wait, I thought all my sins were forgiven. But it says here, God continues to forgive. And although they can never fall from the state of justification, see, that definitiveness never goes away. You can't fall from the state of justification, yet they may by their sins, watch this, fall under God's fatherly displeasure. You see that? That's relational. That's living room terminology. They may fall under his fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and be renewed in their faith and repentance. You see that? That's relational language. That's living room language. And that's what we need every week. We're coming to God not as foreigners and strangers, but as children to a dad, confessing our sins. And we have the delight to hear our Father say, "You're forgiven, dear child. All is well." See that? But brothers and sisters, that's not what this text is talking about. That's why I want to make the distinction. Romans chapter 5 is talking about that definitive peace where he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace definitively with God." And we need to be reminded again and again that cannot go away. You're definitively at peace with God. In the old ancient prophets, what oftentimes would God get onto the prophets about? God would say to the prophets, especially the prophets would say to the leaders in Jerusalem and to Israel, is say, "You know what's wrong with you leaders, with you shepherds? You cry peace, peace, when there's no peace." And he scolds them for that. What I want to convey to all you brothers and sisters at Westminster Church, you must cry peace, peace. Every day you must cry and preach that to yourself and say to yourself, "Peace, peace, there is peace." We must hear that in our souls daily. Cry peace, peace when there is peace. And according to Romans 5, we have peace with God. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh my soul, all is at peace. Our Father in heaven, all is well with our souls because we are at peace with you. We thank you for that definitive peace that will never go away. That definitive relationship we have to you as children to a father will never go away. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for the finality there is in our having faith in Christ Jesus and truly being justified. Not a hope that we might be, and not we won't have to wait until the second coming of Jesus to hear, "Thou art acquitted," but that we now can hear, "You're acquitted, you are justified, and all is at peace." Oh, Father, help our hearts to preach that to ourselves, crying, "Peace, peace," because there is peace. We pray all of this in the matchless name of Christ Jesus, the only grounds by which we're at peace. Amen.